The Lord knows the time is short. And you need to do something with us fast. Not too slow, because time is very short. Even in these few days, we have seen that how important it is to see this heavenly pattern. Because if you don't see it, then there's no way for you to understand Ephesians chapter 5, how to build up a glorious church. Right? You remember in the last few years, I think some of you can remember, I stressed the matter of the vision is not only Christ and the church, but Christ and the glorious church. I think something fell down. Sorry. Right. Christ and the glorious church. Because I've seen so many churches that are not only not glorious, but unholy. And no life. And if you tell them you have no life, they get so angry at you. They really get angry at you. Right? But hey, we have to tell the truth. So may the Lord open our eyes to see all these wonderful materials. Can you imagine if you walk into such a tabernacle? It was all the acacia wood overlaid with gold. And you have such coverings there with fine linen. Right? And with cherubim embroidered in this wonderful, pure, fine linen with gold and purple and scarlet yarn. It's a beautiful sight. It really is very glorious. Amen. May the Lord really show us something. Right? Even that wonderful veil there covering the Holy of Holies before you enter in. You have a veil that is of the same materials and with this wonderful cherub. And this is the way God wants to build his church. But unfortunately, I've seen so much unrighteousness going on in different churches. Sorry, I have to say this. Right. Our God is righteous. Our God is holy, and our God is glorious. You know, these three wonderful adjectives you have to keep in your heart. God is a righteous God, He's a holy God, and He's a glorious God. He's a God of glory. Right? And no wonder Peter said in Peter chapter 1, be holy, for I am holy. Right? It is impossible for God to be holy, but He has an unholy people. Can you imagine that? I don't think it fits. Right? It doesn't correspond to the holy God and having an unholy and unrighteous people. And so we tolerate so many terrible things today, and you can really see, full of corruption, lies, flesh, the self. How can you build a glorious church with such material? So may the Lord impress your heart from this day on, all of you who are here, to have such a view, a heavenly view. Because if you don't have such a view, you will never change. Because this is always our excuse, right? Sorry, this is what I am. Right? I am what I am. If you have this kind of a view, I feel sorry for you. Then what is salvation for you? Why do you need salvation? Why do we need so much silver? And how often do you really pray to the Lord, Lord, save me to the uttermost? Or if you committed a sin or an offense against God, don't just take it lightly and say, Lord, I take your blood and then gone. Oh, praise the Lord. No. This should not be our attitude. You should have a repenting heart. Says, Lord, no. I disagree with this. Right? And repentance means you turn, a U-turn. In the Philippines, you have a lot of U-turns, son. That is repentance. If you say, sorry, Lord, but then you keep on going the same direction, that means there is no repentance, no U-turn. Now, how many U-turns, spiritual U-turns, have you made in your life? In the past week, how many U-turns did you make in your spiritual life? Oh, Lord Jesus. Right? So, we all need to learn, right, to realize what kind of a church this tabernacle is. And you should realize, why is it that the Lord showed us this wonderful tabernacle here, all right? It is in the, I think we printed it out, right? Right here. So, you can really see that there are four pillars into the Holy of Holies. And there's a veil, there are four pillars. You may ask how come these pillars were placed two and two there. Because the measurement was not given. Well, why? Karina. Because it is very practical. Otherwise, you cannot bring the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies. If you distance the pillars in equal space, you cannot bring the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy place, Holy of Holies. Right? So you have to really realize that many times, even in our experience in the Spirit, the Lord will let you learn how to use your Spirit to make certain decisions. Just like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. This thing saith the Lord, the command of the Lord. But this, what Paul said, he says, it's not from the Lord. But I also have the Spirit. Right? And so, the scriptures as tell Moses, make four pillars and hang that veil there. But there is no measurement given. Right? Why? Because it is a very simple matter here, the spacing. Right? So, may the Lord help us to be those who really are active in our spirit. You know, you cannot just say, oh, be in the spirit. Right? Turn to your spirit. Then what do you do in your spirit? Our spirit is very active and interact all the time with the Holy Spirit, because our spirit is not just our spirit. Our spirit is one spirit with the Lord. So if you say, I am in spirit, but you're not doing anything, you're passive, right? I don't think you are in the spirit. Because once you're in the spirit, you are very, very active. You're actively involved with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, you can really see it is called the Holy of Holies. I don't know if you appreciate that name or not. That shows that our God is a holy God. That is why even a priest in the old days, they cannot enter in to the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest, and only once a year, and not without the blood from the sin offering during the Day of Atonement. You need to know all these things if you want to practice a priesthood. That means to go into the Holy of Holies, you cannot just run in. You cannot just run in to the Holy of Holies. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Right. You know, in the many years previously, I always heard the matter of the blood of Jesus. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, verse 19, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is through his flesh. I think you know this verse quite well, right? And there are instances that you said, Paul. Verse 19, chapter 10. Oh, did I not say? What did I say? 10? Oh, okay. Sometimes I quote the wrong words. My mistake. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Yeah, okay. Right, sorry. I go too fast sometimes. I'll try to slow down. So we are very familiar with verse 19. So everybody just say, oh, praise the Lord, I take the blood. Shh, you rush into the Holy of Holies, right? This is what I heard many years ago. And so, wow, to get into the Holy of Holies, just take the blood of the new and living way. Zoom. Right on the, what do you call that thing? The slide into the Holy of Holies. Anyway, but then you forget verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. With a true heart. What is a true heart? Must be a pure heart. Right? And then it says here, with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and even our bodies washed with pure water. How about these few points? We only think about the blood, hallelujah, the blood, we have a new and living way, boom, we just rush in. No wonder we came out not very alive. We came out dead. We came out dead. Because we didn't read on the Bible. There are more requirements. You know, you really need to know our God is a holy, righteous, and glorious God. No wonder he dwells in the Holy of Holies. He's not walking around in the outer court so that you can wait for him there and just talk to him. He's not even in the holy place. He is in the Holy of Holies. You know, many times we do not realize. It's just a doctrine for us, the word holiness. This is why people can do a lot of things, because they're free to do. But if you were a priest, and it's called a holy priesthood, then there are certain things you cannot do. You cannot do. So here it says, with a true heart. Our heart is very important. A true heart. In full assurance of faith. And having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. This is very important. Right? Just like what chapter 9 verse 14 says. And then even our bodies washed. Remember the laver. There's a laver thing. Right? Made of bronze. So you need a blood from the burnt offering altar, the sin offering. Then you need to have your bodies washed there. Any defilement, just wash it with pure water. And then you need to go in. And if you go in, there's the light. Don't forget about the golden lampstand. Right? And then you also have the golden temple with the showbread. Right? You cannot just rush in. Sorry. Also, right there in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about the blood as a new and living way, and that a veil is torn, right? The Lord opened up the veil, but that doesn't mean that you neglect all the other things. You cannot neglect it. And this is why you have to realize why Peter talks about the royal and holy priesthood which we are about to fellowship. Right? And we don't have time to really get into all of it in details. No, there's so much detail, but we have only today and tomorrow, right? Yeah. No, you're going to have another weekend. Don't you that day, huh? Right? So, but anyway, you should realize that our God is a holy God. Not so easy, not so easy. Yeah. But, may the Lord open our eyes. There are so many things that we can fellowship, but perhaps not now, because otherwise, we will not go past through point number one, right? But for the sake of all the saints who are leaving, we have to go on faster. But the Lord will show you. I mean, let the Holy Spirit show you, right? But you need to realize the Holy God. That is why Peter mentioned about the Holy Priesthood. If you're not holy, you cannot enter. That is why if you see the holy garment of the priest, there's a golden plate that is placed on the turban right in the forehead. It says, holiness to the Lord. And you should put that there all the time. I hope we can make a hat, a cap. And in the cap, it says, holiness to the Lord. Ah, how about that? And we'll all wear it every day. And don't turn it around. Good idea, right? But that's a human idea. It's not gold. It's not made of fine linen. It's man-made, so don't do it. Don't do it. It's useless. It's not going to help you. It's just that, you see, human beings have strange ideas. Right? But you have to realize God is a holy God.
You're dealing with somebody who is righteous, holy, and glorious. And he dwells in the Holy of Holies. So remember this, so that every time you come to the Lord, you must prepare your heart. Have a true heart, sprinkled from an evil conscience. And having your body washed with pure water, so that you can prepare yourself to approach the throne of grace. And then do not forget to put on your priestly garment. Don't go in with your pajamas. You're not running into your bedroom to sleep. You're running in there. You're getting inside to the Holy of Holies to meet the Holy God. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Yeah. In Hebrews chapter 12, we see in verse 14. Now you should put this verse with chapter 10 together, okay? Pursue peace with all people. Well, the people there is really in italics. That means it's not there with all, especially with all the brothers and sisters. Don't fight and argue, and then the next moment you want to enter into the Holy of Holies. It's not very wise to do that. Okay? And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. This is a very important verse. But, you want to see the Lord? Yes, it's possible. But you have to pursue holiness. And there is another wonderful verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so here it talks about holiness. And there in Matthew chapter 5 it talks about having a pure heart. And then in chapter 10 we read having a true heart in full assurance of faith. Wow. This is really the way to see God. And I do believe that the Lord will reveal himself to you. Our God is just like the God of glory who appeared to Abraham. Right? Many years ago, when I was much younger, I complained to God. You know, this is how I usually talk to him. How come you appear to Abraham, you don't appear to me? Have you ever talked to him like that? No wonder he doesn't appear to you. Right? You appear to Abraham, you appear to Moses, and you talk to Enoch, and you appear to Daniel, Isaiah, Isaiah saw your throne in the heavens. How come you don't do that today? You don't show us anymore. But, well, you have to really know why, because we are not that holy. We don't pursue holiness. We are nominal Christians. Right? You just pray, but you don't hear him speaking to you. Your prayer is a one-way street. You know, the arrow just go up and nothing comes down. It's just you talking to him, but you don't get any reply from above. I was going to say from open. From above. But here you have to realize that our God is such a God. You want to really see him, you want to approach him. Well, you need to see how important that little word, holy priesthood.
圣洁的祭司，不只是祭司。
Because in the history of the Levites, there are so many Levites that are not holy, that were not holy. Sad, really very sad. So today, it's not just the priesthood, but the holy priesthood. It's not just the church, but the holy church, glorious, holy, and without blemish, no spot, no wrinkle. Nobody likes this kind of an adjective. For you, it's a church, 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 教会。 怎么样的教会呢? 没有人说, 不敢说。 You're afraid to use those adjectives because we are not like that. And we are not aspiring to be like that. Right? We just talk about meetings, we talk about giving a message, talk about church, singing, but nobody talks about a glorious church. Holy and without blemish. These are really wonderful words, right? So here we have to pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Very wonderful, right? All these words show us the way you can really see the Lord, maybe not with your physical eyes, but with your inner eyes. The Lord will talk to you, will appear to you. You cannot teach people how to do that. Because it's not a matter of teaching, it's a matter of what you are, who you are, what kind of a person you are. Right? So, may the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
To see that we need to all enter. And today we have the right to enter into the Holy of Holies. But don't say it's just right, just like the human right. You know, we're not talking about the human rights. We're talking about the holy rights. Don't say, I have the right, and you run into the Holy of Holies just to be slaughtered. You'll be slaughtered. Right? But hey, praise the Lord for this wonderful, holy right to enter into the Holy of Holies. Remember, it is still the Holy of Holies. It never changed. Right? So, may the Lord have mercy on us. So we see here, there is a veil dividing. There's a veil dividing. And there you see the pillars. Still, those pillars are wonderful pillars there, right? And you have the veil woven with fine linen, blue, purple, scarlet thread is the same as the covering, embroidered with cherubim. But the outer screen there, the screen to enter into the holy place is only fine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, but you don't see the cherubim. Right? There is a difference. That means you can only see the glory if you enter in. But if you just stay outside, you don't see the cherubim. Anyway, learn. Okay, now we don't need to talk about the outer court. No need to talk about the outer court, okay? Because in the book of Revelation, anyway, chapter 11, the Lord gave up the outer court. And let the outer court be trampled by the Gentiles. Right? So, actually, for us today, I hope,
that we will be the worshippers, the true worshippers in the tabernacle.
Right? Let us
go to Revelation chapter 11. I think it's worthwhile to mention to you. Verse 1. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. You see, God will measure everything. I know some people are very bothered because I mentioned the measurement. The measurement. Oh, John, it's too boring, right? What? Oh, the measurement will not help us, right? They don't like to hear the measurement. Do you? No, you don't like? Is it boring? Well, maybe it's boring for you, but God seems to love to measure. Right? Even in Ezekiel, he measured the flow of the river. It was measured. Right? The whole measurement in the temple of Ezekiel was measured. As the tabernacle was fully measured, everything must be according to measurement. And then, of course, the temple built by Solomon. But how come you don't like being measured? Now, let me ask you, how often did God measure you? If I ask you, how tall are you? Do you know? You don't know how tall you are? Of course you know. I hope you do. John, how tall are you?
5'11".
Will you forget? So when you were young, you keep on measuring. All the time. What about spiritual vision?
We have to.
You better know how tall you are spiritually. Right? How tall are you spiritually? How much have you grown? Did the Lord come to measure you? We all need to see. Now, I was given a reed, like a measuring rod. And obviously it is a special measurement, because God used a golden reed to measure in Revelation chapter 21, right? And then, and the angel stood saying, "Rise, measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there, but leave the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles." Right? So here is a principle that we have to grasp. Do not spend too much time in the outer court. There are so many activities. Wide space, you can run around, you can play tennis, you can play basketball, you can do sports. Right? You know, when I was in Canada one day, somebody brought me to see their meeting hall that they built. Beautiful meeting hall. My, there's a beautiful basketball court. No, definitely it's the outer court. That was a beautiful basketball court and a beautiful recreational hall. You think God will build such a tabernacle? In the outer court, you have a basketball, a swimming pool, table tennis, tennis. No. Don't spend too much time in the outer court. Because, hey, the temple of God, measure the temple of God, which is just the tabernacle there. The holy place, including the Holy of Holies.
right? And the altar. Didn't mention which altar it is, but which altar do you think it is? It must be the altar within. It must be the golden incense altar. And those who worship there, you will also be measured. Don't think God will not measure you. Because the worshipper eventually is integrated into the holy place. And this is why you need to see that the holy priesthood in the clothing and materials that they wore is exactly the same as that of the veil. And that same as that of the covering, the same material. That means they are interrelated. It cannot be that the inside is gold and then with a covering of fine linen and a priest just wear a t-shirt like yours. Or like yours, or like mine. Right? Anyway, just to give you an idea what it really meant, the holy and royal priesthood. Right. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Everything will be measured. Don't think the measurement is not important. It is very, very important. And the measurement of the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21 is measured. God is very exact. Very. He is super exact. Not just very. God is super exact. Yeah. Somehow he likes to measure things. He likes to measure everything according to his standard. Isn't that wonderful? You should know the God who likes measurement. We need to give a conference about the God who likes measurement. And we will measure the Ark of Noah and measure the Tabernacle of Moses, the Temple of Solomon, and we will measure the Temple in Ezekiel, and finally we will measure Revelation chapter 21, the final New Jerusalem. Wow, my goodness, how about that? Next conference. Maybe you will say it's going to be a very boring conference. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's go now to the second point, the priesthood. Praise the Lord for the priesthood. We need to go to the second point, otherwise we will not finish. Because there are so many things to really talk about in the matter of the priesthood. A, the ultimate goal of God, God's ultimate goal with his people, to make us kings and priests to God our Father. My, if you read all the verses in the book of Revelation, right, you can really see that all of these verses shows us that what God wants to achieve with his people, with us, is to make us kings and priests. Without seeing this view, I don't think you will make it to the kingdom. Sorry. If you're just a, so I'm a Christian, I'm saved, born again, that's not enough. That's not enough. Right? Even, okay, I'm a servant, I'm a worker, it's still not enough. Because, hey, what kind of a worker are you, right? But you need to realize I'm a priest. Now, if you have this realization that you're a priest, then you have to know, what does a priest do? What are you? As a human being, as a young man right now, right? Living in Germany, if I ask, what is your profession? What would you say? You are an engineer, right? I don't know what you study now. What did you study?
Priesthood.
Praise the Lord. He forgot what his major was at the university. Suppose you're an engineer. You told me you're an engineer, but you're not working as an engineer. Then what for? Right? What for? If you tell me you're a chef, but you're not cooking, you're not doing anything, you've never produced a dish, then you're not a chef. If you're a priest, you should know what is the priest doing. Otherwise, you're not a priest, okay? Don't just say, I'm a priest, but then you don't know what you're doing. Then you're not a priest. If you really, you are a priest, you have to study Leviticus 100 times. You like to read Leviticus 100 times? Kimson, yeah, you start to read Leviticus. Oh, every time you read Leviticus, he has a headache. I don't know this. I don't know, right? But you know, don't worry, because that was the first time. But if you read a second time, it's better. The 10th time, wow. You read the 20th time you read through Leviticus, you say, well, hallelujah. You start to say, hallelujah. Right? Because, hey, as a priest, you really need to know. This is why it's called Leviticus. It is especially important for the Levites, for a priest. So if you do not know Leviticus, how are you going to be a priest? So let me ask you, are you a Levi? Are you from the tribe of Levi? Yeah. Then what is your favorite book in the Bible? Right? Well, if you tell me you're a Levi, then your favorite book must be Leviticus. Am I right? Yeah, of course. Because if you don't know, you know, all those, you don't just think chapter 1 to 7 is good enough. You know. You should continue on. 8, 9, and 10 is a serious warning. And then you have to know, my, what God desires to have a holy people, and what are the qualifications? And if there's a problem, how should you deal with it? You cannot just deal with it or being tolerant. Oh, okay, everything is okay. No, you cannot. Everything must be according to the Word of God. If you don't do it, then you are not a Levite. At least you are not a faithful not a faithful Levite. So, may the Lord help us to see, and let us read Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And this is a very plain language, okay? The verse is very, very clear. You don't need interpretation for this. Beginning in verse 6, it says there, and has made us, right, to be... No, okay, let's read verse 5 at the end, the last sentence of verse 5. To him who
loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, this verse tells us very clearly the goal of your salvation, especially the immediate goal, and then also in the coming age and in eternity, God desires to make you kings and priests. Wow. Can you imagine you're going to rule over the Philippines? Ah. Amen. Why not? To be co-kings with Christ. Because when the Lord comes, you will rule with him. Right, today it is a big mess, right? So many things that shouldn't be there. Right? So unrighteous. And so many things, not only in the Philippines, in the whole world. In the whole world. That is why the Lord will come and establish his kingdom, called the Millennial Kingdom. Now, who is going to rule then? Don't just say Christ. No, don't think Christ wants to rule alone. If he wants to rule alone, he should have started his rule right after his ascension. Because he's qualified. He's already sitting on the throne. But he's waiting for you. He's waiting for all of us. He wants to make us kings and priests. Then let's go to chapter 5, verse 10. Let's start with verse 9. And they sang a new song together, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations, and have made us kings and priests to God, to our God, and we shall reign
on the earth."
We shall reign on the earth. How about that? Jerry, do you want to reign on the earth with Christ? That's your destiny. Whether you like it or not, it's your destiny. You should say, "I have no choice." Praise God. But then to be a king, you need to be trained. When? Now. Otherwise, when the Lord comes, it will be too late. And how is the Lord going to train you today to be a king? By firstly being a priest. Yeah? Because today is not a time for you to rule. Oh, you cannot rule over the Philippines today, can you? Oh, Charlie, rule over the Philippines. Impossible. Not now. Right? But unfortunately, people, they cannot rule in the world, in their country. They want to rule in the church and rule over the brothers and sisters. This is a shame. God did not make you to be a king over the brothers and sisters. But to rule over the earth. But today, you need to be a priest. If you're not a priest today, you cannot be perfected in order to be qualified to rule on this earth. That's why I really appreciate those verses. The real way for the Lord to perfect us, to gain the gold, the silver, the bronze, the precious stones, the fine linen, and all this wonderful yarn with the three wonderful colors, right?
and it takes time to embroider it. And it has to be a embroidering from a very skillful weaver. Right? You need to be an expert. Otherwise, after you embroider it, it looks like a chicken. Not a cherubim. After you finish embroidering it, you show me, John, look. Oh, what is that? A chicken. Nobody knows what you're weaving there. Right. So, may the Lord really help us. We need to learn to be trained. To be trained. And we can learn. And the Lord will really perfect us. No wonder Hebrews says, let us go on to perfection. Right? We have to go on to perfection. Don't just remain there. You need to go on. We need to spiritually grow to perfection. And it says here, we shall reign on the earth. Why do you want to go to heaven? So you tell me, do you want to go to heaven or you want to be a king to rule with Christ on this earth? Brother, in gracia, what do we want? You should say, I want to rule on this earth with Christ for 1,000 years. Many times I ask people just for the fun of it, what are you going to do in heaven? Nobody can tell me what they're going to do in heaven. Because it's never written there what we're going to do in heaven. And it's, it didn't say we are going to heaven. It says we're going to stay here to rule, to inherit the earth. Right? So, hey, here on this earth, we are going to rule with him. No wonder, let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, the Lord promised to the church in Thyatira, right? To the overcomers, not to the church, but to the overcomers. It's a mistake to say the Lord promised the church in Thyatira. No, he promised to the overcomers. Verse 26, and to him who overcomes, right? And keep my works until the end. To him I will take him to heaven. Huh? Power over the angels. No. Power over the nations. And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, and shall dash to pieces those rebellious ones like the potter's vessel. Wow. You better practice. How? Not to smash people, okay? Don't smash people. But you must practice to be righteous. And not to agree with all those unrighteous deeds of the nations. Yeah, you must overcome that. 今天如果你我不正的话, forgive me, let me just say it in Chinese. 将来如果你要做王啊, 你看见人都不正的, 你下不了手。 因为你是说, 我也不正的, 那他们也不正, 那我怎么把他们打碎了? 你会很同情。
Amen.
Understood? You understand Mandarin? That means if I don't learn to be righteous today, and one day I'm going to rule over the unrighteous nation, and I see so many corruption, unrighteousness, and I have an iron rod there. I don't think I will have the heart to smash them, because I will sympathize with them, because I'm just as corrupt as they are. So how am I going to smash them, right? Because today I tolerate all the unrighteousness, especially in the house of the living God. Love, love, I only talk about love. Love, love, and love, and more love, right? In the Philippines you call it love, love, love. Because there's no V, there's a P. There's a love, love, love. It's a love looking. Sorry, sometimes I like to play with words because it'll get into your mind. So says, shouldn't do that, right? You have to realize that, no. Today, hey, yes, we need love, but we also need righteousness. And so if today we don't care for the righteousness and we tolerate everything, how are you going to rule over the nations? Impossible. Right? So this is why, hey, to be a king is not so simple. To be a king, it is not so simple. Learn this. Don't be too nice. I'm teaching you not to be nice, can you imagine? Oh, come on, John. Well, I'm not saying we should not be nice, but we should be righteous. The Lord says, let yea be yea, and nay be nay. Not somewhere in between, not a gray zone. What is right is right. I'm sorry if I offend somebody, but hey, if it's wrong, I have to be faithful and say, this is not right. So it's not a matter of being nice or not nice, it's a matter of being righteous. And not our own righteousness, but righteousness of God. And if people are offended, let them be. What can we do? Right? So learn this. We are in God's kingdom today. That's why in some translation it says a kingdom of priests. It's a kingdom. Right? If you have no realization that church today is God's kingdom, then anybody can come and do anything they like. And this is not from God, definitely. Right? So kings and priests. In the Bible, these are all together. You cannot be a king without being a priest. Neither can you just be a priest and say, I don't want to be a king. Sorry. You know, no. These two are joined together. You are a royal priest. So the Lord Jesus today, he is a kingly priest and a priestly king in the heavens today as a man. If you ask the Lord, what are you doing there? Firstly, he's sitting at the throne high above there at the right hand of the majesty on high. And his scepter is a scepter of uprightness. And it says he loves righteousness and he hates lawlessness. Well, Hebrews chapter 1, you can read it yourself, right? What a wonderful king. What a wonderful king.
And then he is also the great heavenly high priest. So he is both kings and priest. We don't have time, otherwise you should go back to Zechariah chapter 6. You can really see, right, that both the throne, right, and the high priest were joined together. Joshua as a high priest, sitting on the throne and crowned with the golden crown. Normally, it should be Zerubbabel. It should be Zerubbabel sitting on the throne because he's the governor. But now, in chapter 6, sitting on that throne is Joshua as the high priest. So that means that Christ today on the throne, he joins these two together. He is both a king and a priest. He is the priest sitting on the throne. And he is a kingly priest. And he is a priestly king. Why not just for himself? What he has attained there in the heavenlies today is exactly what he wants to do with us. This is your destiny. Take it or leave it. It's up to you. You take it. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. And to the church in Laodicea, the Lord promised to the overcomer, right, he who overcomes, I will make to sit with me on my throne, just as I sit together with on my Father's throne. So, hey, this is our destiny. Praise the Lord. We'll take it, right? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some prayers. So, do you prefer to pray or sing? It is a test right now. A test question. But how about let's just sing? I'll make your choice. I sympathize with you. Number two. But remember, we made a change.